It's not on the agenda. Next item on the agenda, public hearing, proposed amendments to Regulation 4 VAC 20-1040-10 pertaining to crabbing license to control latent effort in the crab pot and peeler pot fisheries.
Thank you, Commissioner. Members of the Commission.
Mr. O'Reilly.
Take me a second here. I have two items to hand out. One is the draft regulation, which is very similar to what you had in your packets. There was just a one correction noted by the commissioner on a tense of the verb, so I made that correction as quickly as I could.
Thanks.
And the Chesapeake Bay Foundation has submitted a letter. They support the staff and advisory committee's recommendation to use the 2004 through 2007 data to look at those who had no reported harvest in those years and to place them on a waiting list. They also have information, which I'll cover in the presentation, concerning having a small percentage of those who are now latent licensees 2004 to 2007 or who haven't used their license and would be recommended to be on a waiting list to allow them to enter the fishery off the waiting list through hardship, and I'll discuss that.
All right, sir.
I think first, just to let you know, these are proposed amendments to Regulation 4 VAC 20-1040-10 and sequence pertaining to crabbing licenses to control latent effort in the crab pot and peeler pot fisheries. And I think one thing to keep in mind is that there were some items that came before the commission in terms of crab pot tagging and also a crab pot effort transfer program. And because of budget constraints, those programs did not go forward for 2009. However, one of the big hurdles to having a successful effort transfer program, allowing individuals who are, whatever you draw the definition is, full-time or close to it, fishermen be able to rebuild their rigs for crabbing, the latent effort issue and the amount of latent effort certainly would be an impediment to those programs. But by itself, latent effort can also be an impediment very shortly, because we are on a course to do what we can, along with Maryland, the Potomac River Fisheries Commission, to allow the stock to rebound from a very low level over the last 12 years and regain an abundance level, which at least at the interim amount would be 200 million age 1 plus crabs. And those crabs are crabs that are exploitable essentially or close to it by the peeler pot, 2.4 inches and greater. Another problem with latent effort is that it can be responsive to any short-term increases in the stock abundance, and latent effort can become active. That could stall a recovery that we're underway with. It also could hurt the market for those who are more full-time fishermen. Staff has advertised the proposals for today in your public notice. The only change that you'll see is we advertised approximately 527 crab pot fishermen to be placed on the waiting list, and 341 peeler pot fishermen. After we went through and rechecked all our numbers, it turns out that it will be 524 crab pot fishermen and 343 peeler pot fishermen as recommended to be on the waiting list. The idea of taking someone's license is eminent in limited entry. In this case, the difference today, when you see the presentation, is what staff and the advisory committee are asking is that you hold those licensees on a waiting list and they can be allowed to enter the fishery again once there is a three-year period where the abundance has reached this interim level. It's not an extremely high level when you see some of the graphs. The 200 million crabs have been present before 1998, 1994, and certainly earlier years in the 1990s. And I can even show you going back to the earlier period, the 60s and 70s, there have been periods where the abundance has certainly been that high. This is a part of a limited entry situation, but it's another step. Limited entry already exists. Limited entry started in 1999. It's been present for 10 years because there's been a moratorium on any additional licenses over that 10-year period. This is a second phase of limited entry, and I'll have a slide which will show you what has been accomplished by the first phase and why it really is necessary to have this second step. Staff, as you know, has improved on its ability to understand the crab resource with the scientific work that's been accomplished. Most recently, in December 2005, there was a peer-reviewed analytical stock assessment which looked at the state of the resource, both in terms of exploitation rates and abundance. Since that time, there have been updates of that assessment by the Chesapeake Bay Stock Assessment Committee, which we're a member of that, as is Marilyn, NOAA. That information has carried forward from the 2005 stock assessment. So there has been updated scientific information that has helped everyone. In 2007, the Commission sponsored the Blue Crab Regulatory Review Committee. You had a presentation of those results in January of this year. And a couple of things the review committee found were that latent effort has the potential to offset or reverse any progress that is made towards the future successful management of blue crabs, since any increases in abundance would be an inducement for inactive harvesters to become active. Staff feels that that's partly would be the case. We don't think that all 524 or 343 harvesters would become active immediately. But we do certainly think that enough would to slow down any recovery efforts and also impact those who are depending more on this resource for their livelihood, because after all, there may be some outstanding reasons why someone did not harvest 1 pound of crab in four consecutive years, but by and large, it's probably that they were not a full-time fisherman or even close to it, or they've gone to other fisheries. The current allowance of the latent effort is something that needs to be understood by the Commission, and the Commission should develop an effort control system designed to prevent overfishing and constrain fishing mortality towards the exploitation target. I have just a couple more things that I wanted to point out, and that is that staff and the Crab Management Advisory Committee examined a number of definitions of latent effort, and you'll see that. It wasn't just something that staff brought forward one idea. There were many ideas explored by the Crab Management Advisory Committee, and I'll go through them in just a minute. But we did look at time periods from 1 to 8 years. The one on record for today for a recommendation is a 4-year period. And again, the third meeting on this issue with the advisory committee, but I will say that it was very difficult to find a quorum in these meetings, but there certainly were many attending and more public attendance in the Crab Management Advisory Committee meetings than previously as well. By that third meeting, I think that there was a general consensus that the 2004 to 2007 time period was the correct period for latent effort. There certainly had been, by advisory committee members off and on, reservations, feeling that someone may need to use that license at a later date. There may be elderly citizens who just haven't used the license but find they may need to use it. There may be those who are displaced from their employment that have to use it. And what staff has to offer, again, is the waiting list that we don't know now how many years it will take to get that 3 years of 200 million crabs, but the prospects of getting back in the fishery are certainly better than just simply being removed from consideration. So with that, I'd like to go through the presentation, try to spend as little time as possible. This is just the background information for us, where if you look at the very bottom, you can see that there is a relationship with the data that the stock assessment looked at, that CBSAC looks at, and that we looked at, and that is that the harvest is a function of the exploitation rate and the average abundance of these age 1 plus crabs. And you can follow pretty well here that starting out in 1990, certainly several years of high abundance of the age 1 plus crabs. This is a interim abundance target. So this is the 200 million crabs, what the Bay jurisdictions have agreed is at least the first step to get towards a better status of the resource. And you can certainly see in later years, this is really the 2007-2008 Bay-wide winter dredge survey. That's what these data are representing. 1,500 stations throughout the Bay where samples are taken. So 2007, 2006, 2008, all very low. This is 120 million age 1 plus crabs. This shows the other part of that relationship about harvest equaling the exploitation rate and the abundance. This is the exploitation rate. And I've highlighted 1997 because the lower values below this target, this green line, the lower the value, the better, the healthier the resource. And you can see that for several years, just like there was higher abundance in the early 90s, there was also lower exploitation. And certainly in 1997, which I use as a reference here, that was well below the target exploitation of 46% per year. So the 46% per year means that fishing activities alone removing 46% of the resource. And then, of course, you can come and see some problems occurring here. And if you added them all up, 7 of the last 10 years have been above this red line, which is the threshold. It's really a not an empirical basis, it's a mathematical basis. If you stay above the threshold for too long, you will erode the spawning stock. That's the fundamental fisheries issue. You see the relationship up here again, and now you see the harvest. And the open circle is 2007. You can see this whole stanza for the Bay as a whole. This is all the jurisdictions together, but we would fit in that with our data where we are now somewhere around 19 million pounds in Virginia. This is 46 million pounds right here. One of the lowest harvest levels since 1952. And what you probably should think about is, here's 1993, so that started our mandatory reporting. Maryland switched to their second mandatory reporting program in 1994. All of these years are voluntary reporting. For us, it was by buyers. And I don't think there's anyone who wouldn't think that voluntary data is underreported in comparison to mandatory. I think that's a given. So if you look back, if I can go back here, here's 1997, 1996. You've got very relatively low exploitation rates below the target. Go back one more. Go back roughly to 1997, you see that it's about 78 million. It's right on the long-term average harvest, which is about 78 million. And let's see, let me go next. This leads more into the reason that the Regulatory Review Committee made their recommendations. I have a feeling those numbers are going to be very small to read with the yellow bars, but I think you can see the trend. First of all, the striped bars are indicating who was eligible for a particular license. In this case, it's the crab pot license. The red is who bought a license, and the yellow is who reported. So if you just concentrate on the yellow bars across time, you can see that they're diminishing. Less and less are reporting. So by the time you're at 2007, it's 723 of almost 1,800 eligible licensees have reported, where if you go back to just after 1997, you're looking more at almost 1,200 who have reported. Same thing with the peeler pot fishery. Same type of trend, with the exception that the peeler pot did start to increase in reporting. If you recall, the peeler pot fishery, it doubled its harvest from 1994 to 2002, and then from 2003 to 2007, the peeler pot declined to 1 million pounds. So it went up to a little bit above 2 million pounds for several years here, and now it's back to really less than 1 million pounds, I think most recently about 900,000 pounds. And the reporting follows it. Less reporting, less means less active. I mentioned earlier limited entry, and this is an opportunity to see what has happened. What has happened is that limited entry went on in 1999. In 2008, there's actually more crab pot licenses and peeler pot licenses or eligible for licenses than there were back when limited entry first started. Of course, when you look today, there's 2,850 commercial fishermen registered licensees. 67% of them hold a crab pot license of some type. I don't think you'd find another fishery where that exists with that high of a statistic. Of the crab pot licenses, 1,776 of them, 801 of those individuals also hold a peeler pot license. Of the peeler pot, 942, it brings a total exclusive licensees to 1,917. So 1,917 licensees with peeler pot or crab pot out of 2,850 commercial registered licensees. One thing that happens with the resource and overcapacity, as was stressed in your evaluation and was stressed strongly back in 1998 and 1999, the overcapacity of the fishery are the catch rates or the catch per unit effort rates. This is sort of a global look at it because it's really looking at all the pots that are out there by all the fishermen in any one day, termed a pot day. And the trend is what's significant. Here we are again, right around 1997, and you can see the decline in the catch per pot. So you can see earlier years, which you saw in the abundance, and you saw in the harvest being relatively high here compared to later years, you saw a relatively low exploitation rate. So it could afford high catch rates even with more participants. This gives a different aspect of what the objective is with not having latent effort in the fisheries with any rebound, small rebound of the resource. This is all set to $2,007, and what you can see is from 1997, about $39 million. This is the all fisheries combined. Decreased down to just under $16 million by 2007. The harvest has the same trend, almost 40 million pounds, down to just under 19. Another way to look at economic data is to make a comparison, and I should say that when you see the 2004 to 2007 graphs of asking the recommendation to place those individuals on a waiting list. 2004 to 2007 corresponds to two things that the commission staff worked on. One is the disaster relief proposal, which used 2004 to 2007 data. The second is the 34% reduction in the harvest of females in 2008. That was also based on 2004 to 2007 data. The National Marine Fisheries Service, with their disaster relief proposal, when they asked for additional information, this was some of the information that was sent to them as a comparison. And it compares 1999 to 2001 in terms of the average harvester's dockside earnings or value to that in 2007. And one thing that you can see is there's really about $17,000 per harvester back in that time period, not that much different from in 2007. So at first you say, well, not too much has changed, but then you look at the total value, $30 million compared to $14 million, and then you see that this was 1,766 harvesters, this is 867. And I think if you find any economic interval here on a harvester earnings, you'll see that the 1999 to 2001 basis was a higher number of harvesters over here on the y-axis. So I'm going to go through this very quickly, but this is how the Crab Management Advisory Committee meetings progressed. We started out showing them information of various types. We showed them that if you looked at 1,775 eligible crab pot licensees as of 2008 who reported no crab pot harvest in 2007, so that's here 994, or previous consecutive years, if you go 2004 to 2007, here's the 524 that will be recommended today. And then even if you go back 8 years of eligibility, still a fair number, a little less than 10%, about 9%, had no activity in 8 years but still hold the license, or the eligibility for the license, rather. And that brings up a comment by Mr. Ronnie Jett, who's on the advisory committee. His impression, and we have heard this from several others, is that the regulation starting in 2004 was written in such a way that you could maintain your eligibility without purchasing your license. And the perception of some is that that was meaning that no one would ever lose a license, there would never be limited entry, they did not have to buy their license. And of course the other side of that is, no, you didn't have to purchase the license to maintain your eligibility, but certainly many did because they wanted to either crab or make sure that they had something in terms of a record of harvest. So we understand those type of comments, but it certainly was never intended that limited entry, which was already in place, wouldn't progress. This is the peeler pot information, same as the hard pot information. Here it's 343 individuals, 2004 to 2007. 1 pound was not reported all 4 years. We looked at something else for CMAQ as well, and that was if we took the 1,775 eligible crab pot licensees and the peeler pot licensees, how many individuals reported less than 1,000 pounds for crab pot, and how many individuals reported less than 100 pounds for peeler pot? Both very nominal issues for anyone who does any crab, nominal amounts. And what you find is that there were higher numbers, meaning that 99 crab pot fishermen reported very low harvest, but 524 reported no harvest at all. And you can look at the peeler and see the same situation. Even with a low threshold of harvest, you had higher numbers, or high numbers, who had not made that 100 pounds for peeler pot. So this is the recommended waiting list proposal today to have the 524 out of the 1,775 and the 343 out of the 993 eligible peeler pot licensees, and again, to be placed on a waiting list, not to be just pushed aside. The advisory committee looked at other types of information. They also looked at, if you go back in time, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but if you go back in time, what was the activity of those who harvested? And this bottom table shows you that even if you go back to a time period where you know they weren't eligible 2004 to 2007, but in 2000 to 2003, some had 4 years of harvest. 34 had 4 years of harvest. So even when you go further back in time to see what individuals did back all the way to 2000, it's a very low amount of reporting or harvest. Same thing for the peeler pot fishery. If you go back to someone who has 8 years of eligibility, 2000 to 2008, what did they do 2000 to 2003? A few, 18, had 4 years of harvest. Some higher amounts had just 1 year of harvest. Limited entry is enabled or authorized by 28.2204.1 of the Code of Virginia. There certainly are lots of limited entry situations in Virginia for commercial fisheries. And the reason I wanted to include this slide was to really address the waiting list issue, because Black Drum, when that started out, you had to have a particular documented catch for at least a year, which I think back then you had to fall into the 1988 to 1993 period. It had to be a documented harvest. Black sea bass, which you'll hear a little bit more about today, even the bycatch permit, which is down here in B, when that was drawn up in 2000, I think, it was established that they should have landed and sold at least 1 pound to be in the bycatch fishery. So that must have been done in 2001, pardon me. Channeled whelk, when that started out as a license in 2000, gone from a permit, it was limited, and you did have to show proof of harvest from federal waters. Horseshoe crab, similar situation. You have to have landed and sold at least 500 horseshoe crabs to be eligible for the endorsement license, and it had a time period, 1998 to 2000. Striped bass, much more complicated, different limited entry systems for the striped bass fishery from 1992 to 1997. In 1997, the commission adopted the ITQ system, which is still in place. There was one very contentious limited entry provision for 1996 where those who could not show $5,000 of seafood sales were eliminated from the fishery. The Bay ITQ is really something that is a little bit dissimilar to the coastal ITQ of 2003. That fishery is based on participation back in 1993 to 1997, as well as either 2000 or 2001, and having 1,000 pounds of harvest. So the last one is summer flounder. Another threshold of harvest, 500 pounds of summer flounder, 1993 to 1995. With the crab fishery, it was just 1 pound. If there was 1 pound of harvest over a four-year period in any of those years, that person would not be on the list to be recommended to be on the waiting list until the stock condition improves. Of those who are recommended for the waiting list, 524 and 343, there is one exception. There are three items here of what staff would recommend you should at least consider, but our recommendation is that if one of these 524 or 343 was also one of the eligible 2008-2009 crab dredge fishermen, and those individuals had harvested 2005 or 06 season and 2006-07 season, then they should be allowed to continue with their crab pot or peeler pot license. And that would affect four individuals for the crab pot, nine for the peeler pot. There are a couple of other conditions here. One is those individuals who purchased a 2008 crab dredge license but were not one of the individuals who would have been eligible to harvest with crab dredge in 2008 and 9 because they didn't satisfy these requirements. At that time, it was 53 individuals. Staff does not recommend that these 19 who hold crab pot or 23 who hold peeler pot be allowed to continue those licenses. They should be part of the waiting list. In addition, there's one other situation that we've come across. There were individuals, 37 crab potters, 15 peeler potters, who did not harvest a pound 2004 through 2007, but did harvest in 2008. And of course, there's two problems with that. One is there's a control date of December 17th, 2007, so they harvested beyond the control date, which is very explicit that they wouldn't be considered in what the commission deliberated on for this type of a licensing situation. The second part is more and more, and I'm sure that some of it is accurate and some of it is not, there are reports that fishermen are simply just sending in data, regardless of whether or not they have gone out and harvested. So it certainly seems to us that those who were worried about their license, even though they may not have known what the staff recommendation would be to put them on a waiting list, either did go out and harvest in 2008 or at least reported they did. And I think with auditing, you could uncover some of that if you wanted to at some point. You could also statistically maybe look at that, but the situation with staff is they should not be part of the waiting list because of the control date more than anything else. Wasn't going to touch on that too much, but since it came up, just to show you, since there were comments earlier, these are the mortality rates coming out of the females versus the males. There are hardship cases on the waiting list, and staff has two solutions to that waiting list. You have in your letter that I handed out that the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, and this has been consistent throughout the meetings, the Chesapeake Bay Foundation has supported an idea that some licensees, less than 10%, perhaps 5% of those on the waiting list, if the commission chooses the waiting list, that they would be allowed to continue in the fishery with the stipulation that the licenses shall not be transferable, the licenses should be only good for one calendar year, and the license cannot be used by an agent. The basis for such an approach seems to be that it is a hardship provision and would take care of those who are in hardship. What staff thinks is that there's really no basis in that type of approach to know one hardship from another or those who truly have a hardship. It would be a difficult process to figure that out, but at the same time, the idea expressed at the advisory committee was to hold a lottery. What staff sees in a lottery is that, first of all, you have, let's say, 524 crab pot eligibles who are now not eligible in 2009 or on a waiting list, and some of them are conferred an advantage strictly by way of a lottery. And those may not be the hardship cases. It may be someone who wouldn't even use the license. The situation at the last advisory committee was that the harvesters on the committee felt that rather than a 5% or anything else allocation to those on the waiting list, they would like to see their pots increased by that amount. because they would like to be in a situation to build their rigs a little more than they are right now, because there is a 30% reduction for both peeler pot and hard pot in 2009. So by the third meeting, there was much less support for the 5% option is what we found. The proposal waitlisting allows reentry of those fishermen already. I mean, they have some ability to get back in the fishery. No one can say how many years that takes to have the 200 million crabs 3 years in a row. And certainly, you know, if you look at number two at the second approach here, there could be an appeal process. Staff doesn't expect a lot of mistakes with what has been done. It is possible that someone has data out there that for whatever reason they haven't turned in, for example, and they make a good case, and it's verified through buyer tickets as well, that they actually did harvest. I mean, that could happen. Probably it'd be a good idea not to close the door completely on that in case that does happen. Certainly it would not be an onerous situation such as existed back in the 93 to 96 period when there were appeals to commercial registration licenses, crab licenses, and everything. And in keeping with the original intent of an appeal process, there may be someone who's had military service that kept them from making that even 1 pound of harvest back in 2004, 2007, or some type of health considerations prevented them from doing so. So staff would recommend against the 5% to less than 10% on the waiting list for the reasons that I've discussed or pointed out, but we would think an appeal process would be something worth the commission's consideration. Just to go back what I said earlier, the Bay-wide dredge survey started in 1990. So it has a pretty good time series of 18 years. The VIMS trawl survey, which was one of the main constituents of the stock assessment as well, still to look at this information, shows what I had mentioned earlier, that there are certainly times. This is the one plus abundance from 1968 to 2007, and you can see in the earlier 70s that there was high abundance. This green line is the average or the mean across the time series. You can see a trough here. You can see some more peaks in the abundance. This tracks very nicely with the Bay-wide dredge survey in terms of the abundance levels. And then you also see that there's a similar situation that you saw with the Bay-wide winter dredge survey in these last 10 years or so, just very low abundance. So there can be rebounding. Here's a trough here. Looks like about 1996, 1998 back up. Certainly we're looking for 3 years of stability in that interim abundance. You have your regulation in your packet. I put the regulation, the amendments to the regulation up here. They're very difficult to read, but I wanted to do it on one slide. But I think if you look at the regulation and start with page one at the bottom, paragraph B, it says, for the lawful crabbing seasons of 2009 and all subsequent seasons, those registered commercial fishermen who are eligible from 2004 through 2008 for any crab pot or peeler pot license but reported no harvest from 2004 through 2007 shall be placed on a waiting list and shall be ineligible to purchase a crab pot or peeler pot license except as described in subdivisions 1 and 2. Well, 1 is right here, and it says that those who reported harvest prior to the control date and are from the crab dredge fishery for both 2005 and 2006-07, those two seasons consecutively, shall remain eligible to purchase the crab pot and peeler pot license for the lawful crabbing seasons of 2009 and 2010. The reason that's stops at 2010, as that's the current regulation on the license sales, stops at 2010. The second item is that those crab pot or peeler pot fishermen who do not meet the conditions described here with the crab dredge shall remain on the waiting list until the 200 million age 1 plus crabs is reached. And that has to be for three consecutive seasons. It's a December to March survey. And you have stricken language here, but it's replaced here that any person receiving a crab license by lawful transfer also establishes eligibility through 2010. And certainly one thing that is worth thinking here is the plan, because at some point there would need to be a plan. If the commission approves the waiting list, then reaching or attaining 200 million age 1 plus crabs for 3 years will require some plan for the rate of reentry, essentially, of those fishermen. And this is the staff recommendation. Staff recommends adoption of the amendments to Regulation 4BAC 2010-4010 in sequence pertaining to crab licenses that would prohibit those eligible in 2008 crab pot and peeler pot licenses from purchasing a 2009 or later license for those respective years. The amendments also place those same individuals on a waiting list until such time the interim abundance target is attained for three consecutive years. At that time, a plan will be needed to determine the rate of reentry to the fisheries, and staff also recommends an appeal process be implemented, as discussed previously, for those who can demonstrate hardship. And that concludes the presentation, Commissioner.
Very comprehensive report. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a couple of questions for Rob, and one I just want to, as a point of clarification, you identified three groups of people and talked about how we might treat them, and one group had fished after the control date.
Yes.
And when you last commented on that, if I'm not mistaken, you said they should not be on the waiting list, and it's my recollection from the narrative that your recommendation is that they should be on the waiting list. In other words, that bottom group, category
yes,
three.
Yes, I think we both just said the same thing. I was recommending that, unlike those in criteria one, the
right.
crab dredge situation, two, those individuals who fall into criteria two and three should be on the waiting list.
Should be on the waiting
yes.
list. Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. Just to clarify the record. Okay. And then the other question related back to the language in the draft amendment and or in the draft regulation in subsection 2. As a committee, we did discuss something you alluded to at the end of the presentation, namely reentry, and the fact that, I mean, if we achieve 200 million crabs, which indeed is a modest interim rebuilding target, and we're there for 3 years, I think, you know, everybody, the industry and the commission are going to be quite pleased. But we need to think through how we're going to allow reentry to occur and need to make sure that it occurs in an orderly way. So, you know, it seems to me that one of the items we did discuss that would merit inclusion here, you know, with your concurrence, would be to have a requirement, just a condition, that staff conduct an analysis to determine how many licenses were to ensure that the reentry of licenses would not cause overfishing or excess capacity. Because we don't want to find ourselves right back in the same situation. I think it's very telling that the number of licenses today that are eligible is higher than when we went to limited entry. And the reason is there were a bunch of hardship licenses that were issued subsequent to that. But we want to make sure that we don't go through this difficult process and then end up right back in the same boat. So would staff be able to support the inclusion of a condition, just that staff conduct an analysis to ensure that the addition of additional licenses would not result in overfishing?
Yes. Is that something that you wish to have included in the regulation now?
I think so, and it could simply be one clause. For example, we could say, subject to analysis by VMRC staff, confirming the addition of licensees to the fishery will not result in overfishing or contribute to excess capacity in the blue crab fishery. It can be that simple. And then that way you do the analysis and determine if 100 licenses can come back in, 50, 200, whatever it is. But that way we have some basis for decision-making in the future.
Be specific as to what the criteria is that
right.
caused
right.
you to be
right.
at that level to allow that certain amount to come in, and then we'll use that as a benchmark.
Right.
So keep going.
Okay.
Thanks, Rob.
Good idea, Rick. Thank you. Okay. Further comments? Mr. Schick, then Mr. Fox.
I know on a similar type of report at the Potomac River Fisheries Commission, there was a direct correlation with latent effort and harvest catch, and when the peaks occurred 1 year, halfway through that year, and the next year, latent effort became much more evident, and then became real effort. And is that something that you've seen in your analysis here, as far as Virginia harvest also?
Can't say that I have or that we have, but I think the reason I picked out 1997 and a number of those slides is because you had a higher abundance, you had a higher number of fishermen, and the catch rates, the catch per unit effort, was still very high compared to now. So I don't know whether they fall off as quickly as they do in the Potomac River,
mm-hmm.
because they're much more responsive maybe to a lower stock size and area. But that's something that I did look at for a monthly basis, and we looked at that, and you can kind of track it
right.
some months versus other months.
Because I saw that in the 1997, 1998, it seemed to work like right. that.
I think the problem back in 1998 and 1999, because I went back and looked, was the commission was interested in the latent effort issue back then. The problem was there were only about 4 to 5 years worth of data. So when one member would discuss perhaps making criteria based on harvest, another member on the commission would suggest that probably there weren't enough years to really work on yet. Now we're in a situation where we have 15 years of data.
I think I'm next.
Okay. You are if you want to be.
Okay. Two items. On Mr. Robbins' point of determining a method to bring people back in, it would seem to me that if you've been just over 200 for each of 3 years, there might be one situation. But if you've been, let's say, at 300 million for 3 years, there may be a different situation. And I hope staff will figure that out when they come up with a new plan.
Here's the type of situation that didn't quite make it, but you've got 1998, 1997. The next time you get right at 200 is 1994. So I think what you say is pretty good, because if you're right in here for 3 years, it's a lot different than having that type of
right.
trajectory.
And the next is a question. You've got all these people on a waiting list. I would imagine that some of the active crabbers in that four-year period did not crab three of those years. And I'm wondering if, as you roll forward, you would contemplate adding more people to the waiting list if they had not fished in 4 years.
I think that's something for later consideration, but what you rekindle about, you know, what I wanted to let you know was also that when you're on the waiting list, initially members on the committee who were very resistant at first, I think, and may even at the end, there have been a few who were still resistant, but not as much. Once they learn that those on the waiting list could at some point get back in the fishery or even transfer back in the fishery. So there's still the ability to come off the waiting list through a transfer. Of course, a transfer is, you know, sometimes expensive, but there is that ability. But yes, I certainly think as we go forward, this is going to be watched pretty closely.
Well, I would hope we would add people to
right.
the waiting list if they are inactive, so-called active crabbers.
Yes.
Further comments? Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome.
This is a public hearing. Mr. Jett.
Mr. Brown is still there. Can you go back to where the regulation is printed at? Is that what was advertised?
Yes, it's what I have in my packet.
Let's see, I might be able to get back there. One more. Oh, you're going to make it hard on me. I can tell that. Okay, I'll do it. All right. Maybe I'm learning. I'm learning. That's all I can tell you. There we go.
Don't touch it.
Good boy. Back up, Rob.
Okay.
This is a public hearing. The matter is open to the public for comment. Who's first? Yes, sir. Come forward, please. You come forward, state your name for the record, please.
Daryl Hurley.
Daryl.
I was wondering, I only have a 100-pot license, and I've crabbed with my dad for the last 3 years, and I just bought a boat and all my gear and everything like that, and I had a 300-pot license lined up to buy. Am I going to be able to buy that in 2009, or?
Rob, where'd Rob go? Explain that matrix aspect, Rob.
Because I'm going to be down to 70 pots next year.
Right.
So am I going to be able to purchase a license from someone else to, because I can't make a living, you know what I mean, on 70 crab pots.
Right.
It's
right.
Going to be hard to do.
You can always purchase a license. The only dilemma is we've never merged licenses, so you can only hold one license. You would have to transfer your 70-pot license to someone else.
Okay.
And then through a transfer, get, you know, a 210-pot license,
okay,
for example.
But see, they told me it was only 100 transfers a year.
Right.
So
right. You want to get early.
So, but in 2009, at the beginning of the year, I will be able to purchase if I get ahead of everyone else?
Yes. But you want
okay.
to start early.
All right. Well,
start early.
Okay. And that's
before you leave, go downstairs to the third floor.
Okay.
On the left-hand side and walk through and talk to one of the folks right there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Daryl. Good having you. Mr. Bowden?
I want to make it easy to understand, it has to be a license that's still eligible.
Yeah.
If somebody hadn't used that license from 2004 to 2007, has that license been used?
I believe so, yeah.
If it has, you can transfer it. If it hasn't, yeah, there'll not be a license there to
good
transfer.
Point. Thank you. Who's next? Mr. Jett? Good to have you here, sir.
Thanks, sir. Just want to echo what Mr.
Riley. Ronnie Jett for the record.
Okay. Concerning that, you know, going by the commission, I feel like it's losing some of its credibility when I won, and I know a lot of others did what we were instructed to do. Bought the license, bought the Waterman's commercial registration card, bought the license, followed all instructions, what I'm usually not good at, and this and now I'm being penalized for it. But in that being said and done, I don't feel like it's right. What Mr. Robinson suggests is more restrictive than what's been advertised, and I don't think you can do that without an additional public hearing.
May I ask Mr. Robbins to comment on it?
Well, thanks. Question for Carl at this point. This is something that we had discussed at length in the committee discussion. Carl's not with us. Okay.
There's nothing in there to examine the amount of reentry. Just what time? Abundance of 200 million acres, greater capacity, 3 years, consecutive years. Doesn't say anything about limited entry, rate of reentry.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I think the
Mr. Robbins,
the what was advertised actually isn't that extensive. What was advertised simply says that the commission proposes that persons who are eligible for crab or peeler pot licenses as of January 1, 2008, as well as during the 2004 to 2007 season, but who reported no blue crab harvest at any time during that period, shall not be permitted to purchase crab fishery licenses in 2009 and beyond. So it doesn't lay out that exact language. But again, we can talk to Carl about it when he comes back.
Anything more? I'd like to the comments of, as Mr. Travis did, is acknowledged, even handed his own personal letter, told me you did not need to buy the license every year. That started in 2004, 2005. You said to buy the license, but all you did not have to even buy it to remain eligible. So I feel like it's the commission is not standing by what it was told.
Ronnie, I understand your concern, but you being a member of the Board of Supervisors know certain things change from time to time that are out of our control. And
we have to grandfather those. We deal with them on a daily basis.
Yes, sir. Who's next? Yes, Mr. Smith? Good afternoon, sir.
Ken Smith. Oh, you know, I was at all the Blue Crab Advisory Committee's meetings, except the last one. And I tell you, I'm lost here today. Really am. Before I get into just how lost I am, though, I really did. I thought we would have been through with all these graphs that we've been looking at since the beginning of the year. And as you all know, that I don't like the word overfishing. And I think it was, I really don't think it was a bad time to be using that word with all these hook and line fishermen in here today without explaining how overfishing might occur. And when regulations are put on people and they abide by those regulations because they're told an industry, a fishery will be sustainable by abiding by those regulations, and you come back later and you change them because it was not sustainable, but your waterman was staying within the regulations, something else is occurring, helping to cause in that decline. And with that said, 40% of the bay is a dead zone. Only 12% of the bay met the water quality standards that it's supposed to have. So you've got all this marine life. If it enters into a, if it's in that 40% dies if it can't swim out of it, and everything else crowds into this 12% where it's good. And I'm just going to say this to you hook and line fishermen. If you look at your depth finders now when you're going up and down your bay, you'll see a whole lot more marks right now than you saw all summer. And you're seeing them because the water's clear. There are bunkers in the bay, there are rockfish in your bay, there are a lot of fish in your bay. And your water clarity and what's happening makes a lot. And I hope you all join us in that quest against EPA to get them to follow up on the mandates that they've made. Thank you for that bit of time. My understanding when we left, and maybe I'm just trying to make this real simple. I heard at the last Crab Advisory Committee that things kind of got out of hand and wild, but I was under the impression that there were 500 and some crab potters, 300 and some peeler potters who would be taken out of the fishery. And the hardship idea of it was that, and right now we're looking at maybe what could be some hard times with people laying off and that type of things. And a lot of the boys at Crab probably went building houses or helped building houses, and everybody knows what's happened there. But if they wanted to get back in the fishery, it would be an allotment of crab pots out there that they could go in there, and they could say if they had their 300 pot license, if this year they'd be able to go back and get 210 crab pots. Now, am I simplifying what's happening today, or are we completely off from that?
I'll let Mr. Robbins respond, as I wasn't at the crab meeting, but as I recall, based on reports that I had received, there was some discussion as to whether that was the way to go or whether it should be a situation where those that had continued to crab and crab continuously should not be allotted the certain number of crab pots that may have been set aside. Is that, Rick, am I getting...
Well, if you go back through the recent meetings, I mean, first of all, you said the last meeting was out of hand. The last meeting, actually, we had a fairly good dialogue with some members of the public and committee members and so forth. I don't know where that's from, but having said that, we've had a couple of committee members through the course of discussions that have tried to bring some creative exemptions to the table that might allow some relief valve for people that were previously active in the fishery that wanted to reenter the fishery. And you're right. The idea was to have some set aside. At least the idea that was floated was to have some set aside within the number of pots that could be allocated, and then allow people to come in on a lottery basis or a hardship basis or some mechanism like that. The difficulty with it, there was no consensus on the committee for that. There was some support for it, but it wasn't a consensus by any means. The difficulty is that comes at the expense of those that are active in the fishery today because it's effort is essentially a zero-sum game. So if we were to do that, and let's say it resulted in a 5% increase in effort, then that would have to come from somewhere else, so to speak, and it would come at the expense of those that are active and dependent on the fishery. So in the end, there really wasn't a consensus in support of it. You see staff's recommendation. Staff has recommended that we do have at least an appeal mechanism in place in the event that somebody's records weren't accounted for correctly. So,
Bill, at the loss to everything went so far in one meeting. Are the people that there's some boys that bought boats here and fished this 2-0-H season, are they eligible to fish next year?
If they landed anything prior to the control date, then they're eligible.
The control date, though, is 2007, is that right?
Yes. December 2007. Rob, is that the 30 yes. people that you're talking about?
Well, there were individuals in 2008 who had not harvested 2004 through 2007. They went out in 2008 and harvested some amount. I think what Mr. Smith's asking about is those who started in 2008.
Yeah, I mean, there's some boys that, you know, bought a boat, bought a rig, that they hadn't had any time on it. They went out, they bought a boat, they bought a rig.
Yeah, that's something that the committee, we talked about very briefly in the second of these three meetings on latent effort, but we never really, did anything with that idea. But I think staff's idea is they did that outside of anything about what they did in the past. They went out, they harvested in 2008. They made an investment. It would be very difficult, we think, for the commission to turn around and say, you're the same as someone who didn't harvest at all in 2004 and 2007. So it's a little different circumstance.
Okay.
Can I just... So you're saying they bought a license in gear and a boat. Now the license may or may not have been used during the 2004-2007.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But they made a valid effort to be in the fishery in 2008.
That's correct.
Right. And just to follow up, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you. As a point of clarification, the people who did that in 2008 had qualified or had, not qualified but had activated via transfer.
But I know of somebody that had.
But they activated those licenses by transfer, and we allowed as a commission transfers to occur after the control date. So those, again, up to 100 per year. So those licenses are still valid.
What if someone has transferred into a fishery and that license had, had been fished in 2005, but the person that transferred into that fishery did not crab in 2008? Or hadn't used that his gear license at all, would he still be eligible?
I think under what Rob presented.
I ask this question? Was there a quorum at the last crab advisory committee?
No, there wasn't, and there were no votes taken at the last two meetings.
Oh, can I just make? I mean, we've got till March before anybody puts the crab pot over. I mean, reasonable people can come to a reasonable conclusion, and. I'd like to see this just tabled and go to the next crab advisory committee and come back with something that we are in agreement on and that a quorum can be reached on to bring back to the... I mean, we can still go with staff's recommendations of what they want, but at least have it so the crab committee and, like I say, have a quorum on that where it's voted on. And we come back in here and present the two proposals at the next meeting, and then the commission can vote on them or weigh them out.
I'll defer to the committee chairman on that, not to dump him in the fat. But
and I will start but
with one understanding, that there is a quorum. If there's not a quorum, whatever comes out of it comes out of it.
I'll make sure it's a quorum.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, the last few meetings we have not had a quorum. The attendance at the meetings has been low. And people know that I think if they don't attend three times in a row, the policy is they go off the committee. But nevertheless, they haven't attended. One difficulty is perhaps for some of the Eastern Shore folks. We have had some of the meetings at VIMS. But again, this is an issue that we've deliberated for over a year. We had this in the
Blue Crab review process. This is a very straightforward matter in that we've had chronic excess capacity in the fishery. The resource for the past decade hasn't been able to withstand the effort placed on it by the active licensees. And consequently, what we're proposing to do here is a very soft solution. We're not going to completely take the licenses away. They're going to be placed on a waiting list. They'll be placed on hold, and simply we're not eliminating latent effort. We're simply bringing it under management.
And the CREB committee will continue to meet.
Indeed.
I don't know if I know what Mr. Robbins said.
I think you said they've worked long and hard to bring this proposal at this time to before the commission.
You know, I tell you, you're talking about the Eastern Shore Crabbers. Marshall Cox was at every meeting. He had cancer this year, had part of his, he wasn't able to work. As far as other people on there, it's kind of hard with the work at time that's put in, especially with the people that soft crab. Now all the pots are up. I mean, everybody should be able to attend a meeting, and I would really appreciate it if the board would consider letting the Crab Advisory Committee meet again. If it's a quorum there, vote on that and bring both staffs and the Crab Advisory Committee to the table, and we vote on it that time. And this time, gentlemen, I will sit down, and I thank you for your...
Thank you very much, Mr. Smith. Who's next? I can't see who that come. Ms. Powers? They raised that monitor on me again.
I'm just going to be quick. There's one issue that came up.
Yeah.
One issue that came up was the concept of transferring licenses, and I was sitting in the back thinking, what happens if one of the 524 people transfer a license from an active license to get a license? What happens to their spot on the waiting list? And I would suggest that the regulations state that if you are holder of a waiting list slot and you transfer a license to your name, that slot just disappears because now you're an active fisherman in the fishery.
Okay.
That's the way it is? Okay, good.
Further comment? The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. I'm sorry, Mr. Josephson.
I understand that an issue came up while I was out concerning Mr. Robbins' amendment and whether it was noticed.
Yes.
And Jack Travels had explained to me, I think, the nature of the issue, and I think I agree with Mr. Jett that if you want to include that amendment, you have to advertise it for a future meeting.
Mr. Robbins' position?
Mr. Chairman, if that's the case, I think that is an important amendment to make, so I would move that we defer this to the December meeting and re-advertise to include that amendment.
Well, if
Mr.
I may make a suggestion, maybe we should deliberate on this and then have a second packet, addendum to this, and take these other issues that maybe could come up, you know, not necessarily into December, but, you know, even in the January or February. That way, if there are many other scenario issues to take together, they can all, you know, take the time it needs to be taken and put them all together. Just a suggestion.
Commissioner, may I bring up one point?
Yes, sir.
License sales for 2009
begin
start December 1. So that's
okay. And that's why I was figuring if we go ahead and deliberate on this and then add, because there are other important issues that Ken had brought up and then that you had brought up that need to be run through the CRAB committee and staff analyzed too.
I think Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In light of the fact that sales license sales do begin December 1, I think we do need to go ahead and approve what's before us, and then we can deliberate that additional term in the CRAB committee and bring it back to the commission for future modification.
Thank you very much. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Bowden.
When we're looking at the catch per unit effort, you would really think it should be dang with the regulations. The one that really pops to mind is coverings. We know that has escapements, so you would certainly think that it would go dang. So I don't read as much in that as some people do as being a waterman, because we know that the heaviest part of the crab harvest is in the beginning and in the end. and with the situation with markets the last several years, and we've destroyed the infrastructure. There's no crab picking houses left. So basically now we're to a point that we have a summer fishery for a basket trade. And I'm here to, you know, what staff is suggesting, I really don't have a whole lot of problem with. But I'm going to say this. At the end of 3 years of having 200 million plus crabs, we're going to have lower landings than we do right now. The fact is, the market's not there. The people's not there. There's no way we can compete with the $2 a pound Indonesian crab meat. It's just not going to happen. So no matter what we do, we're not going to turn this around as far as the market part. I don't want you all to think that there's going to be a big rush of people getting in it, coming off the waiting list, because there's nowhere to sell the crabs. Saying that, I have, you know how I feel about full-time working watermen, and this certainly doesn't really affect them, with one exception. And maybe we can address that through the special consideration process that you all outlined. We have a lot of people on Tangier, for example. It's not exclusive to Tangier, but it's considerably worse on Tangier, that have left the fishery temporarily, go on tugboats. And I'm sure if the fishery recovers, a lot of them would like to get back. It's what their family's done for hundreds of years, and they're being forced to do something else. It's not something they want to do. So I think, you know, by not having a pool of hardship, our percentage set aside for two hardships. In the case of Tangier, certainly would be in hardship because of their location in the middle of Chesapeake Bay. So I think that's something we need to consider. And like I said, I just wanted to bring these items up that I had concerns about, and I think that we all really need to have concerns over them.
Well, pertaining to the infrastructure, I can assure you that that's not lost on our deliberations. As a matter of fact, in meeting with the Seafood Council and a number of other folks, I've offered our assistance in doing whatever we can in lobbying whomever may be appropriate for those workers that are necessary for the infrastructure of the processing industry. So your point is well made. I don't necessarily think that we in and of ourselves have destroyed the market. I think, as someone said one time, it's been somewhat of an imperfect storm where the availability of help and things just all came together, but we understand that. And should the resource rebound, as I am fully confident that it will, we will take whatever measures we can to exploit that fishery yet at a sustainable level. So with that, matters before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the concerns that Mr. Bowden raised about hardships, and this is something the committee has talked about quite a bit. It's not a simple matter. I think the one group that we thought the most of as we went through this was people that were perhaps full-time working watermen, but for whatever reason have been involved in other fisheries over the past 4 years, and so they haven't participated in the blue crab fishery, even though they have a history of substantial dependence on commercial fishing. But in the end, we concluded that a hardship exemption, or it seems that a hardship exemption would be difficult to do, and that if you look at our history of where we are now under limited access, our number of licenses has actually gone up, and it's gone up because of hardship exemptions that we've issued as a commission in the past. So there's some problems there historically with doing that. I think the appeal process that staff has laid out is certainly a good approach. But in addition to that, people that are in the fishery, if they've been out of it for the last 4 years, and you had a waterman that had to get back in order to be viable, he could do that through a transfer. In other words, we still have 100 transfers a year that can take place. And while it may not be the ideal way to get back in, there is still a mechanism for that person to get back in through those transfers. So there's still some means of doing that. But this solution of saying that you had to have some landings during the four-year period is a relatively soft solution. We looked at some tougher options, including requiring that somebody land at least 1,000 pounds of product in any 1 year. That doesn't seem like a lot of product for somebody that's actually crab. And when you do that, the numbers go up by over 100. So the number of permits that are being placed on the waiting list
is actually comparatively small relative to some of the other options that we looked at. But I think what staff has put together represents an appropriate compromise. Again, we didn't have a quorum on the committee, and that's regrettable, but we did have a lot of input. This has been discussed for over a year now. Some of our committee members tried to bring some creative solutions and exemptions to the table, but I think effort is a zero-sum game, and that's how it has to be looked at. If we allow for a significant exemption, people will take advantage of that under the difficult circumstances. And I think now that we have this type of a regulatory package, if there's an option to fish and people are concerned about losing their license or not being able to maintain eligibility, they're certainly going to exercise their ability to fish under the system. So if you allow 5% for a set-aside, that's going to get exploited. And that's got to come from somewhere. So the people that are in this fishery have already suffered enough this year under the regulatory scheme. That's why the governor has requested disaster relief, and the U.S. Secretary of Commerce has agreed with the disaster, and now we have a package to work with. But if we allow an exemption, then that's got to come from at the expense of those that are currently active and dependent on the fishery, and I would have a hard time supporting that. So I would offer a motion at this point to approve staff's recommendation.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second the motion, but I can also make a suggestion for staff to consider. This has nothing to do with the motion.
For the record, Mr. Fox seconds the motion. Mr. Fox.
But if we had the rolling four-year average, or not average, but rolling four-year term, and we added people to the waiting list who did not fish for four consecutive years, then you might be able to have some licenses you could give back to hardship people or by other mechanisms that might be determined. That's just a suggestion. That's nothing to do with the motion.
We can update this next time around, next commission, but the next time we have a full set of 2008 data,
right,
and then roll it that way.
Yeah, so just consider that.
And bring it to your consideration.
Fine. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by... I'm sorry?
Public hearing is closed. I just want clarification from the attorney. Staff recommendation was not the same thing as stated in the legal document as advertised.
That part has been excluded. The staff recommendation that was...
What was up downstream? Staff recommendation?
The...
Go ahead, Clark. My understanding is that the amendment proposed by...
Mr. Robbins
is not part of it. And that's what I was addressing.
Right.
Staff recommendations is what is being voted on, because it does not have that amendment in it specifically, correct?
That is correct. Staff recommendation is adoption of the amendments to Regulation 1040 that would prohibit those eligible in 2008 crab pot and peeler pot licensees from purchasing a 2009 or later license for those respective gears. The amendments would also place the same individuals on a waiting list until such time that the interim abundance target is attained for three consecutive years. The only addition to that was that table that staff provided of the three cases, where the first case were eligible crab dredgers before April,
right,
with the recommendation that those four crab pot fishermen and nine peeler pot fishermen be allowed to retain their licenses for 2009-2010.
Okay.
Nothing in your recommendation about the rate of re-entry?
No.
That was on the screen.
Mm-mm.
Rate of re-entry, staff recommendation was?
The appeal process was the second item. The rate of return, that was merely a suggested item by staff. It was not
under the
formal
appeal process.
The appeal process was part of it, yes.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye. Thank you, Ronnie.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much.
I need to clarify if I may.
Yes, advertise for?
The appeal process is not in the regulation that you have. It was part of the staff recommendation. There were two things that were added to the staff recommendation. One was in it, and that's in the regulation where those who were the crab dredgers that I just mentioned who had feeler pot or hard pot would not lose their eligibility for 2000.
That's less restrictive.
But the appeal process was not part of the regulation as drafted.
So that we need to advertise for that for public hearing, correct?
Yes. That's my understanding.
Is there a motion?
I think that's less restrictive.
Less restrictive as well?
That allows more people.
Okay.
That
that's
was
fine.
My understanding.
Thank you.
Do we have to vote on that separately?
No.
The only other thing I'd like to mention, Mr. Robbins' suggestion that has to be advertised, could that be advertised for the January?
Absolutely, please.
Okay.
That's okay with you.
Mr. Chairman, I would offer a motion that we go to public hearing on that item and vet it through the CRAB committee before doing so, but for January.
Second.
Do you need more time than January?
No.
Okay. Second by Mr. Holland. Mr. Counselor?
There were other suggestions made in addition to what Mr. Robbins suggested, and I wondered if you wanted to expand the notice of the public hearing to include that so that this issue doesn't resurface again at the next meeting.
Actually, I think given the fact that we've already had the appeal process clarified and that will be part of staff's recommendation and the regulation, I don't see other items that need to be added at this time, so we'll leave it at that.
Thank you. At this time, Mr. Grist has gone out. Okay. As a joke, we had advertised, and I don't think this should take long, cases concerning failure to report commercial harvest. You got the...
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, are we going to vote on the... On the public hearing?
I'm sorry.
Do you need a vote on that?
Oh, well, I think we do.
Okay.
To advertise for public hearing.
I made the motion.
Motion made by Mr. Robbins, seconded by
Mr. Holland.
By Mr. Holland. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. Motion carries unanimously for the public hearing. Thank you, Rick.
Commissioner, there were only 14 cases that were left on